I don't know if you, oh wow, there I am. We have a few special guests here today that I wanted to just draw your attention to. Longtime Celebration family member Connor Messer and his wife Abby are in the house. For those of you who don't know Connor, Connor grew up in this church and he and Abby are now living in California. And so super, super cool. So just so glad, just fills my heart to see you. Also, we have a new member of the church. I don't know if you knew that, but there is a baby, a little Theodore J. Young, who was born on November 25th. Michael and Jillian are here with their new baby. He's so compact and cute. So, so cute. Anyway, so glad to have you guys, and welcome back. Yeah. So the other night, I came home, went home after a long day, and I was just feeling exhausted and kind of disconnected from myself, from my family, from just the whole Christmas season. And it kind of felt a little bit, this is extreme, but it kind of felt a little bit like Ellen Griswold in the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where she said, "I don't know what to say, except it's Christmas, and we're all in misery." Right? Now, that's a bit extreme. I was not miserable, but I was just overwhelmed by the busyness of everything. I don't know about you, but between Christmas parties and school events and middle school dances and then family gatherings and then the shopping and all, it's just a lot. And then on top of that, Roger got sick and then I got sick. I'm on the tail end of it. But it just kind of felt like, you know, the specialness of Christmas, whatever it is, was just passing me by. That I've experienced more busyness than peace. And so I came home and I just said, "Hey guys, can we just all just huddle up here?" So we all gathered on our bed and I'm like, "You know, I'm just sorry. I've just been really busy and I feel disconnected from you and I feel disconnected from me. Do you guys feel this way?" And they're all like, "Yeah, yeah, we do." And so I'm like, "Well, do you have any suggestions for how we could maybe, you know, we have a week left, week or two left of Christmas. Can we, what could we do to make it better?" And I was thinking, my idea, my suggestion was, let's just sit around the tree every night and maybe read a story together, have hot cocoa. And that's what would feel more peaceful to me. And that's not apparently what my kids had in mind. Because one of my kids used this opportunity to say, "You know what would feel more like Christmas to me? If you guys would let me get to pick whatever I wanted to watch for a movie. Like, you guys always get to pick and I don't get to pick. And so that would feel more like Christmas to me." And I'm like, huh. I think we're talking about two different things here. But it was funny because we just had different ideas for what Christmas should look like. And again, that comment derailed us into another conversation about family watching, family movie watching together, and how can we make that more equitable? So we did talk about that. But it's just, it appeared to me that we have different ideas for what Christmas should look like, even different ideas for what peace looks like. I'm going to have to pray for me today so that I don't dissolve into coughing. So I want to hear from you, because I think we have different ideas of what peace looks like, even in this room. So on this side, we have a flip chart. And on this side, I want you to put, what do you think Christmas looks like? What does peace at Christmas look like to you? Okay? What does it look like to you? Not whatever anybody else. Maybe it's getting to pick your family movie that you want to watch. What does that look like for you here? And on this side, we have another flip chart. And on this one, I want you to come up and write, what does everything around us say peace at Christmas time looks like? What does everything around us, what does the news, what does social media, what do advertisers, what do grocery stores say peace should look like? Excuse me. So talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to give us about 5 minutes. You can talk amongst yourselves and then come up and write something up on the board on one of these two things. And I want to hear your answers. So we'll give it about 5 minutes. Whoever is up here, you're the last ones to write. So nicely done. There's some good reflecting, good discussing going on. I just want to thank several of you came up to me and offered me cough drops, offered me tea. I have my whole stash here. So I might be having a cough drop in my mouth the entire service. I apologize, but it's just to spare you. All right. Sammy is going to be my assistant. Isn't he awesome? Isn't Sammy Crippen awesome? So why don't, he's going to get a microphone, and he's going to read first on this side. What are some of the answers? What does peace look like for you in this room, especially at Christmas?
Yes, getting along with family.
Oh, that's good.
Baking and enjoying meals together. Falling snow, not 70 degrees.
Oh, so you're not feeling at peace right now?
No.
Yeah?
Family eating dinner together. Laughter, times two and times three.
Nice.
We got several votes for laughter. Making Christmas breakfast together while sipping coffee and listening to Christmas music.
Love it.
Mom's Christmas candy cane cookies.
Oh,
it's a mouthful.
Yes.
True meaning of Christmas. You got family, no politics,
oh.
Love, family, and food, getting along with at family gatherings, and no work.
No work. Hallelujah.
That's what peace is.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Awesome. So this is what Christmas, what peace at Christmas looks like to us. Now, this is what everything around us tells us what peace should look like.
Hallmark movies.
Oh, yeah.
Getting along with other nations. Being still and focusing on Jesus' birth. Strong weapons. Being honest with friends and family and not saying, I've got real problems with you people. I have real problems with you people.
So, Pete, just to clarify, the culture says peace is saying I have problems with you people, or it's not saying I have problems with you people.
I don't know. That's a good question. Double negative. Yeah. Being honest with friends and family and not saying I've got real problems with you people.
Gotcha.
Not saying. A country without a hateful, racist president. Gathering, unity, parties, friends, love. Having it all together. Barrage of holiday emails.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we got.
Nice, nice. Can we give it up for Sammy? I love that this room there's diversity of thought, diversity of ideology, diversity of background. Right? And so some of the things on here, I get it. Now, one practice that we have here, one commitment is we don't get political from the stage. You're allowed to have your opinions. And so someone wrote about the president. What I will speak about, though, what we will speak about is what God says is righteousness and speak out against injustice in the world. So we will speak out about that, right? So just want to clarify, you guys can all have your opinions, and I hope you do. It makes us better when we debate and we wrestle and we have different viewpoints, but we will, as the people of God, speak out when there is injustice, whether it's Democrat or Republican, right? So just side note there. All right, so do we see some similarities between the two about peace, what peace should look like? Yeah. I do. I think so often I feel like peace is just a settledness of being. I don't too much think about what it looks like on a world scale. And our Savior came 2,000 years ago because he thought of the whole view of peace, not just how it affected Jill Jones or how it affected you, but peace, and I matter and you matter, but peace on the big scale. I wanted to show it this morning, but I didn't. But the whole Miss Congeniality clip where they're getting up and saying what their hopes are, and the all the ladies say world peace. And I'm like, you know, what do they mean by world peace? What do people mean by peace? What do people mean by world peace? Is it that we all just get along? Is it that there's no more fighting? Is it that we feel good interiorly, or that people have access to food? What is peace? And so that's what we're going to unpack a little bit today, because I think that God's definition of peace is quite different from ours. I wish that his definition of peace aligned more with mine. But then I recognize that he is God and I am not, and his way is much better. So today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we're talking about peace. What is it when there's so many common definitions and expectations for what peace should look like? How do we get it? How do we offer it to others? And we're going to light these four candles today. And I just think of what our Savior said in John 14:27. He said, "Do not worry. Do not be afraid. For my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you." I'm not doing a very good job of lighting candles today. Thank you. Did somebody say that happens? No, I'm like, it usually doesn't. But yeah, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." It's a different kind of peace. "Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." He said that because he needed to say it. He said it because their hearts were afraid. He said it because they were troubled. And they were looking for peace in all these different areas. And he says, no, the peace I give is not as the world gives. So we're going to look at what his peace is today. Let me just pray for us and pray for me as we dive in. Lord, we thank you that we're only scratching the surface of the immensity and the beauty and the power and the mystery of your peace. Lord, our desire is that your spirit would move in this room this morning and that there would be evidences of peace. Grant our vision to you as our source for peace. And Lord, I just pray for my voice, but then also just for how the spirit is moving in this room. We pray against any distractions, or I just think this is what the enemy doesn't want us talking about. So Lord, we just pray for your spirit to move. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to point out our bulletin. Look at this. This is by our very own artist, Miriam Noteweir. If you see her, I think she's in Sunday school. If you see her, tell her thank you for her artwork. But I'd like to invite our readers up. We are going to have Spanish and Mandarin this morning. And Mandarin, we'll do Mandarin first since Chrissy's closer to the front. And then we'll have Luis, you can come up right after that.
Yisaya Shu, Arsha Liu Zhang, Ardao San Jie, Chang Kai Cheng Men Shi, Shou Xin De Yi Min De Yi Jin Ru, Jian Xi Yi Lai Ni De, Ni Bi Bao Shou Ta De Shi Fen Ping An, Yin Wei Ta Yi Kao Ni.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Chrissy. And Luis, who this is, you've been here for a month, and you're now reading Spanish up front. So welcome, Luis, and thank you for reading.
Abrir las puertas para que pueda entrar la nación justa, la que permanece fiel. Al de firme propósito guardarás en perfecta paz, porque en ti confía.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Luis. And I'm going to read in English. Two verses, short passage today. You can follow along on your handout, or you can just listen to these words. This is Isaiah the prophet. This Advent season, we're in the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah the prophet says in verse 2 of chapter 26, "Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith." Verse 3, "You will keep," he's talking about the sovereign Lord, Yahweh, "you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you." These are the words of the Lord. So what is peace, right? The dictionary tells us that peace is freedom from disturbance. It's tranquility. It's mental calm, serenity. It's like a peace of mind. When I think of peace of mind, especially at Christmas time, I think of a clean house. You know, that just does something for me. I think of a lit candle, shocker. Think of a good book, right? That's what I think of when I think of peace of mind. But it's also peace, according to dictionaries, a state or period in which there is no war or war has ended. It's not just peace of mind, but peace means the cessation of conflict or the absence of conflict. I shared this a year ago, and I'm going to share it again. In 2003, the journalist Chris Hedges set out to determine whether there have been any sustained periods of peace on the human record. And he defined war as any active conflict that has claimed more than 1,000 lives. He reviewed 3,400 years of history. And you know what he discovered? There have only been 268 war-free years. So out of 3,400 years, there's only been an absence of conflict or true peace for 268 years. In other words, approximately 92% of recorded history is marked by active conflict. And the scale, the bar is pretty, I mean, 1,000 bodies, 1,000 lives or more, that's kind of high, right? So when history books say it was a time of peace, history books don't say it very much, do they? But it means that there was no war or conflict on a national geopolitical level at that moment. So there's peace as a state of being. There's peace as a state of, as an absence of conflict. But what does the Bible say about peace? Many of you have heard the word shalom. Let's say that to one another. Shalom. It's Hebrew. It's a greeting, but it's also a blessing for someone's well-being. In Hebrew, in the Old Testament, shalom was used for this all-encompassing type of peace. It wasn't just peace of mind or state of being. It wasn't just the absence of conflict. It was an experience of rightness, of righteousness, of things being right, of a just, right world. It means to be complete or whole, like a wall that doesn't have any cracks or holes in it. And more complex, shalom is to be a state of completeness, that there's a sense of one's overall well-being. So when relationships or situations are out of alignment or missing, shalom has broken down. Shalom, or peace, it's a state of being, but it's also an action to bring shalom, to make complete, to restore. In relationships, it's to reconcile and to work to repair broken relationships. That's to bring shalom. Now, if we were to all sit down and just say, how often do you experience shalom? You may think, I was thinking the other day, this moment right now is shalom. It was like watching my child play. I'm like, this is shalom. So sometimes for me, shalom, most of the time, who am I kidding? Most of the time, it's moments. It's not an extended experience of shalom, and yet this is what God says. No, I want to give you perfect peace. If you come to me, if you trust in me, you'll have perfect peace. The idea there is he's saying you'll have peace, which is like you'll have it full and abundant and complete. In Isaiah 9:6, earlier in Isaiah, Isaiah said that the Messiah would be the Prince of Peace. And in Ephesians 2:14, Paul says that Jesus is our peace and that he made peace through his blood on the cross. So shalom, or peace, is not just God's idea. It comes from him. We were created with the longing for peace, with an awareness when things aren't right. We long for peace because God is peace. He's the source of peace. Now, we can find snippets of peace, or perhaps even shalom, from different things or in different moments or different people, but the fullness of shalom comes from him alone. And it comes back to our passage, Isaiah 26, verse 3, when he says, he will keep us in perfect peace when we're steadfast, when we trust in him. Meaning we keep coming back to him when we're not feeling the peace, which means we keep coming back to him all the time. And this idea of his keeping us, it's this idea of his watching over us, his guarding us, his protecting us. I like to think it's a picture of his holding us. He will hold us in perfect peace when our minds are on him, when we come to him, when we trust him in the moment, with our circumstances, with it all. He will hold us in shalom. All of this sounds good, right? I don't think any of us would disagree. I want peace. You want it too. But just like my kids, again, even the world has different definitions of peace or different definitions of what would make Christmas peaceful and meaningful. And this isn't a new thing. Even people in Isaiah's day, they wanted peace to look a certain way. Little tiny history, if you remember, in the 8th century BC is when the Assyrian Empire, they were pretty brutal. They'd impale people. They would force intermarrying. That's how the country of Samaria came about. I could go on and on about the atrocities. You don't need to hear that on a Sunday morning. It's not very peaceful. But the Assyrian Empire came in and invaded northern Israel. And so Isaiah was speaking mostly to the northern Israel folks when he was writing. But then 100 years later, Babylon, read your history books, Babylon came in and laid a siege on the people of Judah, which is the southern part of Israel and Jerusalem, and they sieged them for three, they were under siege for 3 years, and eventually, when we read Daniel, the book of Daniel, Daniel's was taken into captivity from the Babylonian conquest. Anyway, so that's a little history note. Jeremiah was the prophet when this Babylonian siege was happening, and the leaders of Judah at this time, while this siege is happening, while they're being under attack, the prophets of Judah are giving them false messages. Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14, he says, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. They weren't going to the Lord, to Yahweh, for peace. They were trying to do it their own way. What they hadn't heard for hundreds of years is that they were going against God's plan. And God said, keep coming back to me, keep coming back to me. And they're like, no, we want to do it our way. So God said, okay. And these empires came in and invaded. There was judgment that happened. But the people, the prophets and the priests didn't say, repent and come back to Yahweh. Repent and come back. He is our source for life and for peace. No, they said, oh, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. You just go to church and you do your right things and that's, and peace will come. And Jeremiah is saying, those are false prophets. Those are lies. You're being told a lie about what peace is and where it comes from. Different definitions of peace. So when we have different definitions of peace, where do we go to get the correct definition? We go to the Lord. We go to Scripture. Peace is shalom is a rightness between us and God. That doesn't mean that he's just sitting around waiting to beat us on the head when we sin and mess up and do bad things. No, he's just saying, this is going to create more chaos in your life. This is going to create more brokenness and more hurt in your life. No, I want wholeness for you. Rightness with God, shalom, is coming back to his definition of wholeness because that's how we were created to live. Jeremiah is calling out the prophets and the priests. They thought that peace was something that perhaps was political, ignoring the sins of the people and God's coming judgment for those sins. God's peace is different, much bigger. Much bigger. Isaiah says in Isaiah 48, this is in your handout too. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for us. We come to him, not to the news, not to a full bank account, not to our government. Doesn't mean we don't get involved. We come to him for our shalom. He will keep you in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast when they trust in you. So the invitation this morning is to become a people of peace, becoming a people of peace. We do that in two ways, probably many ways, but I have two for you today. The first is to reconnect with the source of peace. Come back to the source of peace. Come back over and over and over. I sometimes think that my sermons are all about this. I say the same things, I think, in most of my sermons. And I think one thing that I say an awful lot of is keep coming back. Keep coming back to the heart of God, whose heart is for you. Our understanding and our experience of peace comes when we realize where peace comes from. John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Seems like that's kind of a, I don't know if that's a promise, kind of a guarantee. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I tell you all these things so that in me you will have peace. To understand peace is to know that peace is the presence of God in all things. God is present in the busyness and the quiet. He's present in the moments we hoped for and the moments we didn't want. He is present in all of it. For me, it's not just the job that I get to do. But for me, the Christmas Eve service really reorients my heart. It reconnects me to this source of peace. It's just one more time to get away, to come and worship the Lord and celebrate for what Christmas is all about. So I invite you to come this Wednesday from 5 to 6. The second thing, reconnect with the source of peace. We're going to do a little practice together here in just a minute. Reconnect with the source of peace and then practice peace. If you've ever needed time to practice peace, it's Christmas time. Am I right? As we get together with family and friends, as we wrestle with what to do with our time, as we navigate all the different expectations and assumptions for Christmas and for how life should be, the season is rife with everything but peace. So I found two resources that are going to be helpful for you. One, I'm going to just point you to. The other, we're going to practice peace. We're going to do it together. The first one is there's a wonderful podcast called Being Human. I put the link in your bulletin. Steve Cuss, and he and his wife did this wonderful 30 minutes, like this, Finding Peace in Chaos was the title of it. And it was just five suggestions, five ways to find peace in the Christmas season. So if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling stressed, as you're driving home today or sometime this week, pull aside and listen to that podcast. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to practice peace. We're going to practice this peace prayer. Now, this prayer has been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Most of you have heard it numerous times. But it wasn't actually written by St. Francis of Assisi, but it's still a really popular prayer. And the prayer is in your bulletin. And I want to call you and invite you to this posture of prayer this next week. We're going to practice it today, and then it's something that you can do over this next week as we go into the holidays, as becoming a person of peace. It could be a way to prepare for each day. It could be a way to prepare for perhaps that family dinner that you may or may not be looking forward to. Perhaps this thing that's on your calendar this week that you're dreading, this could be a wonderful prayer to sit in, to prepare your heart, to sit with the Lord and to prepare your heart for what you're going into. And side note, it's a wonderful way to pray for one of our strategic ministry partners, the Providence Network. I mentioned them last week. Their finances are tough. A lot of their funding has been cut. So if you think of them this week, they provide transitional, beautiful transitional housing. It's a faith-based community for people who are coming out of various stages of woundedness, whether it's addiction or homelessness or whatever. Anyway, this is a great prayer to pray for them as well. So we're going to practice it together. I'm going to read it through twice, this prayer. And after each time I read it, we're going to take a few minutes or a few moments for you to read through and look through and ask God what is stirring up in you. The first question that I want you to be thinking of as I read through this is, where do you need peace this morning? How do you need to reconnect, or perhaps connect for the first time, to the source of peace? Sort of a lectio divina, whatever stands out to you. Just, I'm going to read it and we're going to sit in silence for a few moments. Whatever stirs up for you, if there's a word or phrase. My favorite prayer is, Lord, help. So I'm going to read it and then we'll have a few moments of reflection. I invite you to close your eyes. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. I'm going to read it through again as we practice peace. In this time, as you listen, how is he inviting you to be an instrument of his peace this morning? What is one way that he is inviting you, calling you to practice his peace? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood, to be loved. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. I invite you to sit in this space for a moment. How is he inviting you to be an instrument of peace with him this morning? Lord, hear the prayers. Amen. As we come to communion, I want to just read these words. It's in Ephesians 2. And Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He's talking about two groups here. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, but we can put ourselves in any of those. In one of those groups, there's always somebody who's the other. There's always somebody who's on the other side. And Jesus, through his body, through what he did on the cross, through God becoming man and living among us, what he did is he says, no. The hostility's over. It doesn't hold power anymore. He brought peace through his body to you and to me. He brought his shalom to the world. Now, he didn't do it once and for all, and I wish he would have. All of us can look around and see how much conflict and how much hostility and all the dividing walls that are out there. But he's saying, no. Peace is through me. I reconciled your brokenness, your sin, and I dealt with the sin of the world because I loved you that much. I came into the world and I demonstrated my love for you by breaking my body, allowing my body to be broken for you. I did it out of love for you. You tried to find peace in all these other ways, and you couldn't find it. It's only through me. And he sat with his disciples the night before he was betrayed, the night he was betrayed. And he said, "This is my body, which was broken for you. Take and eat." And in the same way, he took the cup. It had wine in it, but it represented his blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. This is a different kind of peace I'm talking about. This is a shalom that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Prince of Peace, that he is Lord, and his shalom will be everywhere. Now, his shalom is working through us. But he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant of my love for you. Take and drink. And whenever you do this in remembrance of me, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." So as you come forward to receive the bread and the cup, and I think the gluten-free, is it on this side? The gluten-free is on this side. Whether you need peace, and you need the Lord to bring you, you need to be held in his peace. Or whether you feel nudged to be an instrument of his peace, and maybe it's both, I invite you to come forward with open hands to receive the peace that he gives you, wants to give you. I'll invite the communion servers to come forward, and I'll pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you know us better than ourselves. You know the different places that we look to for peace, for hope, for tranquility, for our future. You know all of those things. And you also know that those things don't add up. And so, Lord, you did what we couldn't do for ourselves. You made it possible for us to receive your peace, to receive your healing and your wholeness, your forgiveness, when we come to you. So I pray for your people as they come to you, that you would give them your peace, that you would remind them of who you are and who they are. In your name we pray. Amen. I have a couple shout outs that I'd like to do. I don't know if you noticed sound booth today. We had Core Weatherby on the computer and Evie Clute on the soundboard. Can we give it up to them for them? So just so glad you guys are doing that. Thanks to John and Alex for training. So just super fun. Well done, you guys. I was going to say something else. Oh, another quick shout out. Akriti, this morning, bless her heart, the printer went out. We couldn't connect the printer. Like quarter till. she and Sammy finally figured out a way to print our bulletins. And so just a shout out to Akriti for holding a lot of chaos this morning. So appreciate you, Akriti. You can stand with me as we prepare to go. I do pray for peace for you guys this week as you head out to your days and your weeks. I do hope we get to see you if you're in town on Wednesday night to worship the Messiah, to worship our Prince of Peace together. So remember that as you leave this place, that everyone's path you cross carries a heavy load, especially at Christmas. There's not a lot of peace to be found. And if you scratch just below the surface, you'll find that they are in pain. So be good to yourself. Be kind to those you meet. Practice kindness. Grab the hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you and who holds you. And grab the hand of a friend. And in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.